Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Ivan Bebek, the Executive Chairman of RN Resources. And RN Resources can be purchased in Toronto or New York under the symbol AUG, 94.5 million shares outstanding, $1.62 in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of around U.S. $153 million. And the stock certainly has done very well since the start of this year, one of the better performers in the exploration sector, for sure. Welcome, Ivan, and thanks for joining me again.
Thanks for having me back, Jay. Pleasure to be here.
Always good to have you. Give us your latest on what's going on in one of my favorite companies, one that I follow in my newsletter and keep my subscribers up to date on as much as possible. So your shares have almost doubled since the beginning of January. What's going on?
All right. Well, you know, as you know, Jay, we set out 4 years ago to go find a major deposit, and we started up north in our Committee Bay project and didn't have access to a project called Sombrero in Peru up until about a year and a half ago. And as we got onto this project, you know, the dream of finding a big mine started to come true, and we had a chance to take a lot of samples off the surface, draw some really strong analogs to major mines nearby. And we think we have one of the industry's biggest discoveries potentially on hand in the last couple of decades. So Sombrero is a copper gold, predominantly skarn and porphyry deposit or target. And its analog is Las Bambas, which, if you're not familiar with, sold for $8 billion in 2014, the same year we sold Kaden. You know, from that, $6 billion was the actual metal content. And this deposit was 1.7 billion tons of copper equivalent. That was copper molybdenum that averaged 0.6% copper. If you caught our most recent news, you know, one of our surface sampling efforts sampled about 232 meters of 0.5.5% copper, of which 40 meters runs about 1.25% copper in that, you know, sampling, you know, trench on surface. So, you know, it kind of revealed, you know, something that's really important in the copper world is volume and grade existing on surface. And if you follow gold projects in the exploration phase, a lot of times when you drill them, the gold goes away when you get beneath surface, to be real simple about it. In the copper world, copper doesn't go away when you drill it. It generally is a lot more homogeneous, and you can expect to see similar grade subsurface, although it does carry other risks when you see a lot of good grade copper on surface. We think that there's been enough windows, and we haven't chosen where to sample, that windows of exposure have given us where we can sample, but, you know, the surface samples are a 10 out of 10 so far, and the analogs of the scale of systems is simply massive.
Yeah, it is massive, 120 hectares, I believe the project is. And
120,000 hectares, yes.
I'm sorry, 120,000 hectares, what am I talking about? I forgot three zeros there, didn't I? Yes, it's massive. 120 hectares would be nothing to brag about. 120,000 certainly is. So I'm wondering, the 0.55% copper, is there a gold element to that?
Yeah, it's copper gold. That's a great question. You know, on the eastern side of this belt where you see Las Bambas, Tintaya, and Anticapai, some of Peru's largest porphyry and skarn deposits, it's predominantly base metals, copper moly. We're dealing with copper gold. You know, we've sampled up to almost 200 grams gold, an ounce gold, half an ounce gold in several areas. So we see a lot of gold showing up in this specific, you know, effort. It was about 0.15 grams of gold over 232 meters. If you look at that in a scale, and we think, you know, as a target, our first target on this area of the property would be a billion ton type of ore body. You know, if you've managed 0.15 grams per ton gold, that's about 20 million ounces or more equivalent of gold that would be in that deposit alongside the billions of pounds of copper. So, you know, it seems insignificant in grade, 0.15 gold. Yeah. But when you talk about potentially having a billion tons and potentially having 20 million ounces of gold, it's substantial for the gold credit. You know, it's one of those things that's going to carry a lot of value for us if it continues.
For sure. Well, you know, I've seen in your press releases a couple of different targets there at Sombrero. The Sombrero main target and the, I guess you pronounce it Ferrazzo target. Can you talk about those?
Yeah.
And then perhaps do you have more targets? I mean, you must have a lot more targets, I believe, probably on this massive Sombrero project.
Yeah. To be honest, you know, there's a comment I made recently in an interview I did that got posted on Bloomberg where I talked about us underestimating the potential of Sombrero. And what I was referring to is exactly your point, is we're looking at Sombrero, Maine as the first area where we're going to drill here shortly in the next few months. And Furaso would be, adjacent to Sombrero, Maine. But there are, this would be considered one cluster. And so far, we found five clusters in about 10 or 15% of the entire 120,000 hectares. And so when we talk about an analog to Sombrero, we're classifying that by the first cluster. There's four more clusters that we've seen a lot of copper and gold. I think the word fertility, you know, very fertile copper and gold and systems on top of these other clusters that we haven't even gotten to yet. So we're going by what we have access to right now, and we were pretty ambitious and diligent to do a lot of focused work on the first major center, which is where our work is. But, you know, it's less than 10% of the entire land position, and it's only about 15% that we've had a first look at. And if you look at some of our other press releases or some of our material, there's something called NEOC, and there's 9 grams gold and 9% copper, 5 grams gold. There's 2 grams gold, 4% copper on some outcropping mineralization that has a massive target underneath it with strong magnets or magnetite indicating potential skarn and porphyry. These are the rocks that we believe are going to host some of these major deposits. And there's been a lot of scrutiny on Sombrero. Majors looked at this about 10 years before we got it, and nobody ever did the detailed work. And, people saw a lot of volcanic cover, as did we, and they saw some high-grade copper and gold, and they assumed, you know, potentially smaller systems with, you know, high-grade centers in them that weren't going to carry the volume. But what we've done, and if you look at a series of press releases we've put out, if you watch the video on our homepage, we're demonstrating the scale of Las Bambas in the first cluster with several surface samples, trenching, all the same rocks that occur at Las Bambas in terms of limestone, intrusive contacts, and sediments. Everything looks correct. The age of the rocks seems identical to what's happening at the Las Bambas district. So every ingredient is there. The only change or difference we're seeing is that we're copper gold and they were copper moly, which obviously we prefer gold as a second credit to a major copper deposit than molybdenum. But truly, Jay, this is early days of potentially a major discovery with a pipeline of four or five more that could be there potentially behind it. And that's the word district. And that's something that we've identified with our former Newmont global exploration team. We've always set out to go find big things in the mindset of a major, and screening 7,000 square kilometers to assemble this land position, you know, and get to this point and actually go outside the box and go somewhere where people thought, you know, the right rocks weren't there and find them has truly been a real, real big achievement. And lastly, I'll point out the amount of corporate interest we've gotten on this project, you know, the CAs that we're signing, the visits we're doing with major mining companies. And there seems to be a common reaction of, oh, we had no idea, you know, this was going to turn out like this. And if you look at samples last year, 109 meters of 0.7, 232 meters of 0.5.5 copper gold equivalent. I mean, these are spectacular, you know, exposures that we're getting. And I have to emphasize, Jay, that we are not sampling the rocks we want to sample. We're sampling the rocks that are exposed on surface. So that gives us a lot of ambition to think that when we get into the sweet spots of the system, there could be some real substantial drill intercepts as we move forward.
Right. You, in a recent press release, April 3rd, you talked about the iron mine there at the Furaso and the dumps. There were dumps there. Then you sampled up to 3.26% copper, 1.2 grams per ton gold. Is that telling you something about, because I think so far you've just been doing channel samplings and I guess probably oxide material. Do you see sulfides? Your geologists see the potential then for sulfides, something rich, really rich in copper and gold at depth, that could take you to something like Las Bambas? I mean, Las Bambas is just so exciting. If you've got anything like that, we've got a moonshot on our hands here, possibly. I mean, I can't say we have it yet because you've got a lot of work to do, but...
Yeah, on that note, Jay, the great question and the one thing that people have been asking us, you know, you're seeing a lot of high-grade copper in the oxide part of the system, and the concern would be that it's enrichment. And what that would mean is that the rocks beneath the copper, you know, in the oxide system don't have the same grade of copper, or they're somewhat barren, and then you would lose the scale of the system really quickly, and you'd have a smaller high-grade copper system, right, potentially. What we've seen in our Corrales Trench, which was 109 meters of 0.7, we had a sulfide portion of that trench that was exposed and just due to weathering. And so that sampled 1.9% over 30 meters, which is even higher grade than we're seeing in a lot of the oxide parts of the system. There's an area called Good Lucky. It's in our presentation. You can see the side of a cliff. That entire cliff is all sulfide, and it goes down 400 meters in depth. So, you know, we have a tremendous amount of confidence that the sulfide continues. In the dumps, we're sampling oxide, but we've been talking to the former miner who mined the iron ore there, and they said they saw a lot of presence of sulfide as well. So, you know, without going too far, we're still collecting data off the property. I think that the one message I would send is there's absolutely no concern of ours that there's a big sulfide component. And what we've seen so far in the areas we've been able to sample sulfide is the same grade and possibly higher grades in the sulfide. And so when you think of a copper system that has, you know, an oxide portion, a sulfide portion, think of volume when you think sulfide, volume of grade. And then the next question you have to ask yourself, is the grade improving, staying the same, or is it a little bit or a lot less? And so far, it's staying the same or it's improving. So, yeah, this is why we've got a bit of a tailwind. You know, it's gathering a lot of corporate compliments from other major base metal companies that are recognizing it. And no real challenges except for just to get a drill or get some drill data. The only thing missing from this project is that third dimension. And if we can get a hole into it, you know, the model is going to validate much quicker than a gold system. And you know, what we want to see here is we want to see what happens in the skarn part of the system, which is generally the higher grade portions. We want to see how wide is it and how far does it go for. And so far, we've mapped 7.5 kilometers of skarn through magnetics and chargeability as well. And so what that's telling us is the right type of rock goes for a huge distance. We see thick thicknesses of up to 150 meters thick by 100 meters wide. You know, these are substantial skarn signatures. The multi-billion dollar question for us is, are these carrying copper and gold in them? And sometimes these magnetic signatures can come off magnetite that's carrying pyrite, other sulfide metals, or, you know, an aquifer or clays could set this off as well. We're really looking forward to our first drill hole. If it runs copper gold in it the way we're seeing on surface in a substantial amount, then you can put the math together very quickly. And, you know, we anticipate that to be the case, but we're going to need that next layer of evidence to really say it with confidence in the market. And we certainly wouldn't be trading at our current share price if that was the case right now.
You know, we're just about out of time here. I got to ask you very quickly, how soon do you expect to drill at Sombrero? And secondly, then, if you could just comment real quickly on what you're expecting to do at Nunavut and your Committee Bay project.
Yeah, so real quickly, drilling is in process. We're in the system. We expect to have permits in August, give or take a month for just, you know, it's a process that we don't directly control. And so it'd be between July and September, I think, is fair with an August as a target month. Secondly, on Committee Bay, you're going to see a press release shortly. It's going to identify the next steps and what the AI is achieving. It's going to reveal a lot more of how impactful the machine learning is being for us. And so we haven't made any drilling plans for Committee Bay yet. We don't need to till the end of May. Right now, our clear focus and all the attention is going towards Sombrero. Obviously, with weaker metal prices or equity markets, we're going to be really ambitious with a low-cost, high-reward project like Sombrero. But if the market turns positive in the golds and we see room to go and be aggressive at Committee Bay, we'd certainly consider that. But as of right now, our focus is on Sombrero. Look forward to a lot of news coming out. Next week will be a homestake update as well as Committee Bay, followed by a lot more news out of Peru in May as we get really close to this drill program.
All right. Sounds really exciting. I can't wait. As an investor, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for being with us again, Ivan, and we'll look to keep up with you going forward into the future.
Thanks so much for having me, Jay. We'll appreciate it.